Jimmy Diggs here at Cold Shoulder. Join us every Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. for the most brutal, intense, uncensored show on the net, Daily Noise, right here on LBRocks.com.
And now back to whatever crap you're listening to.
Originating from Las Vegas, Nevada, you're listening to LV Rocks. Noise from Vegas. The following is a live LV Rocks original webcast. Visit LVRocks.com for studio cam and live chat room.
Welcome back to Subject to Discussion Live at LVRocks.com. I'm Sean O'Mac, Sean Daly. You can call me anything you want, just do not call me late for dinner. And if it's Tuesday night in Las Vegas, it's time for Subject to Discussion Live at LVRocks.com, as well as podcasted on LVRocks. Thank you, everybody, listening to the podcast, as well as everybody listening live and in the chat room, all two of us, three of us, thank you. And last week was the biggest amount of podcast downloads on the program yet, thanks to Katie Sackoff. So we thank her very much. And then also Galactica Station took that part of the program and archived it over on their site, and they got 800 hits on that. So, wow, that's pretty good. Unbelievable. So, and also the program is archived over on SpankWagon.net. SpankWagon's on every Friday, and followed by King Hesh. I was telling that was the Centurion Charge, Mr. Consoler. There he is. I was just telling him about the A-list celebrity I bumped into at the hotel. Today's Tuesday, Monday, whatever the hell day it was. Now I lost track. And then it was Al Pacino. He's staying at the hotel doing shooting a movie in town, and he just so happened to have his iPod, and I asked him, "Oh, you know, what kind of iPod? What's on your iPod? Blah blah." He goes, "Oh, I got some radio shows and stuff, and then a couple shows from Las Vegas." I'm like, "Oh, really?" So I'll go through. And he handed me the stupid things. I went through it. I'm like, "Wow, Subject to Discussion is in there." And then another friend of mine from work, his name is Nathan. He's a kid, I guess. He's kind of challenged.
Oh, I'm gonna have you job shitted.
And he came in.
I don't care whose nephew you are, who you know, whose dick you're sucking on.
Wow.
Fuck you too.
Wow, is that Al Pacino? I can't keep him in.
None of my business. You want to push
wow.
me to answer you?
I can't keep him
wait,
and
wait,
Dustin
wait
Hoffman
minute.
Apart. And then he.
Times. Wow. But I'm not too sure I like you.
Oh, that's from The Godfather, I think. And then
where did you learn your trade, you stupid fucking cunt,
wow.
you idiot?
Mouth on him. He's like mouth like a sailor. But anyway,
did you hear what I said?
Yes, Mr. Pacino. And then
fuck you.
Oh, and then the associate of mine at work, he came in clapping King Hash, and he goes, what's this King Hash? And I told him about it, so he wrote the website down. So we'll see if he becomes a addicted listener to. King Hesh program. So we'll see. And actually, in the second hour, we're going to be joined by Leah Cairns from Battlestar Galactica. Of course, she plays a racetrack, Margaret Edmondson. So
saying.
She'll be along, and then she'll talk about she filmed a movie called 88 Seconds, and it's another movie that's in production, but I can't get the damn...
You just cost me $6,000.
...damn website to come up, but we'll ask her about that when she comes on. And then also, she was in town this past weekend.
What a big man you are!
Wow.
Hey, let me buy you a pack of gum. I'll show you how to chew it.
Wow. He was in that movie, The Devil's Advocate, with Keanu Reeves, right? Wasn't that him? Yeah, I didn't care too much for that movie, because that movie just dragged on and on and on. But actually, he's an excellent actor, so...
Not to my knowledge,
and then,
no.
And then Koenig will be along as well to talk to us about the 4400. Now, I was supposed to watch the 4400 on Sunday, but the power went out where I lived. And, of course, the VCR didn't tape the program. So, but he'll give us an update on the 4400 and what else is going on in sci-fi. And then before I get into the news to you.
Oh, my God.
And I want to talk about the local news. I have a couple of local news items here out of Las Vegas. We had this prostitution ring, and that's a part-time judge. And so that was in the news. We'll get that as well. And then the news news to you part of it. And also we had the shooting out at the Silver Nugget Casino, which is in North Las Vegas, actually. A little dive there. It's been there for like 100 years. And it's where we used to hold some of the wrestling events when I was with the Buffalo Gym Wrestling Federation. We had like 4 or 5 shows there, and they have an arena there. And actually, the last show we had there was with, who was it now? I can't remember. A Honky Tonk Man and a couple of the other old-time wrestlers. So that was at the Silver Nugget, which is an odd place. Looks like it's a bunch of trailers strung together, because you walk into Silver Nugget, you're walking on the wood floor. So, I mean, it's a very weird feeling in there. They have a bowling alley and everything else, but it's in a really, I'm shocked that there hasn't been a shooting there before now. I mean, just it's where it is. I'm not too surprised. And what else? They had the item about in the Norm section here in the Las Vegas Review Journal, which is a little Vegas confidential gossip. Column. He's talking about Leonardo DiCaprio, about the he's apparently dating an Israeli model, Bar Raffaelli, and who was with DiCaprio on Saturday at the Light nightclub at the Bellagio Hotel. Turned 21 on June 1st. Apparently, earlier he had hinted that she was not of age to be in that club. So, but Norm is who is the writer of this column. He corrected himself. So, and then they had a story about Wayne Newton. Of course, Mr. Las Vegas. He's met with Anthony Michael Hall from the Dead Zone on USA. And Anthony Michael Hall is going to be filming a movie out here called Life and Death in Las Vegas. And Wayne Newton's going to play a role in the movie. He will not be playing himself. Wayne Newton's going to play a fictional character who screws people out of their inheritance. Wow. And what else? Of course, then Roy Horn from the
hasn't he been doing that his whole career? Anyways,
that's screwing people out of their money.
No, he's
tickets for the ticket prices. And actually, this coming Sunday is his last performance at the Flamingo Hotel in Las Vegas. Then come I think October, November, he's going to be at the Harrah's Hotel with Rita Rudner. And then we have Roy Horn, who's part of course Siegfried and Roy, and he's doing a lot better. He was at the VIP premiere of The Phantom in Las Vegas, which is a family opera in Las Vegas. He's playing. They went to see that, and they got a standing ovation for that show. And what else? Then they had a celebrity poker tournament at Pure nightclub at Caesars, benefiting Opportunity Village. And Earl Turner finished fourth. He's a singer. Also, there were Siegfried and Roy, Frank Shinta of the Shinta's family, Lance Burton, of course, is a master magician, Lance Burton, Clint Holmes in Thunder from Down Under, blah, 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 in the Chippendales. And what else? So, other than that, that's the local news. And then we have this from the, actually, I have the business section here. They're talking about the city center is going to be built. The MGM Mirage unveiled a model of its $7 billion mixed-use mega project, which is going to go up. Any of you familiar with Las Vegas, it's going to go up between the Monte Carlo Casino and the Bellagio. There's a bunch of land back there that Steve Wynn had bought part of the Dunes Hotel and Golf Course. So anyway, all that's going to be tore up and turned into a huge city center resort. They have a picture of the MGM Mirage unveiled a model of the project city center on Monday at Monday's press conference. The $7 billion urban metropolis is scheduled to open in 2009. It will span 66 acres, including 60-story. That's big for Las Vegas. Hotels are like, now they're starting to get bigger. It's like 51, I think, is the Venetian. A 60-story, 4,000-room hotel casino, a 1,543-unit condo hotel tower, and 2 non-gaming hotels. So they're starting to crank that out. And then in the USA Today, they had... but buyers in more markets are finding housing out of reach. Houses are getting out of reach of normal families, especially here in Vegas. There's a real shortage of school teachers. Now they're going to be about 600 and something short for the coming school year because a lot of these teachers cannot find affordable housing here in Las Vegas. No kidding. And they also talk about the floods crippling Washington. And let's see. And then more of these schools are apparently schools across the country are banning games at recess because of injuries and lawsuits being filed against these schools. So, and then also astronauts, I have a story here about astronauts running out of space in a cluttered space station, apparently surrounded by stowage bags, so the space station's getting overcrowded there up in space. So, and with that, we'll move on to the news to you. And So I did have a guest scheduled, but I had a little snafu, so I had to go the whole hour with my news. But anyway, and then the big Superman movie, I think, starts tomorrow, I believe. So if somebody wants to, if you want to, you know, call in, like Superman versus Batman, you know, who is better, or, actually, and Aaron Spelling passed away, and a lot of times been talking about him and also about Dynasty. So I was like, Dynasty or Dallas, which is better? You can, chime in with that. And I remember Dynasty years ago was... Dynasty, when it first started out, they first filmed the pilot, wasn't called Dynasty. It was called Oil because they wanted Dynasty to go up against Dallas. But anyway, they got the idea to change it to Dynasty, so that's how that started. And what else? Something else I want to say. Oh, about the Warren Buffett, giving away his $43 billion. If he had $43 billion, who would you give it to? So I don't know. I don't know who I'd give it to. I wouldn't give it to Bill Gates to give away, that's for sure. I don't know what I'd do with it. Buy a couple sports teams and buy a television network and program it the way I want to see it, a network program, but I don't know. So anyway, this first story comes in from today. Star Jones Reynolds is leaving The View. They broke in with all these breaking news updates. Don't expect any smackdown between Rosie O'Donnell and Star Jones Reynolds on The View. Reynolds said Tuesday she was leaving the show, and she told People magazine that felt like I was fired, she said. Rumors that she was leaving have intensified since the April announcement that Rosie O'Donnell would be replacing Meredith Vieira on The View this fall. So she's leaving, and let's see. She made the announcement after the first commercial break of The View on Tuesday. She's saying that the show had decided to move in a new direction. She's not sure what the future holds, but she's absolutely sure who holds the future. And I guess that Joy Behar, I guess she said, you know, I don't know who I'm going to be to argue with now. And she goes, oh, I know there'll be somebody here for you to argue with. I guess hinting at Rosie O'Donnell. So, and then Eddie, the feisty dog on Frasier, died as well. The scrappy dog known as Eddie on TV's Frasier has died. The 16-year-old Jack Russell Terrier, whose real name was Moose, passed away of old age Thursday at the Los Angeles home of trainer Mathilde Hallberg. People magazine is reporting. Oh, there's Eddie. I don't think Eddie barked very much on that show, did he? The canine character Eddie drove Kelsey Grammer's lead character Frasier crazy for 10 years on the show. And it wasn't all acting on Moose's part, though. He was extremely mischievous, said the trainer. And also, Kelsey Grammer at one of the Emmy Awards, when he won an Emmy, he held up the screen and says, he said something like, this one's for you, Moose, like, attributing the win to the dog. So, and then also had this from Tuesday. Screwdriver loaded into a paintball gun kills boy. According to El Paso police, the accidental shooting happened shortly before 10:30.
You are one pathetic loser.
Brilliant!
Wow, shortly before 10:30 p.m.
You are stuck on stupid.
Behind a home at 3429. Oh, we don't need to know about that. In El Paso, police said a paintball gun was being passed around by a group of young adults in the presence of an 8-year-old boy. Then one person loaded the paintball gun with a screwdriver. El Paso Police Department said, unfortunately, the item that had been merged or put inside the paint gun ended up being discharged, striking the child. That's horrible. Horrible. Idiots. You know, who's a jackass that put the screwdriver into the paint gun to begin with, you know? The police have arrested two people in connection to the crime. One of them is 23 years old. Another one is 21. They have been charged with injury to a child. So how about, what's that, involuntary manslaughter? I mean, that should be it. And also, this one's from today. Fire truck crashes into house. This is from Detroit, Michigan. A fire truck crashed into a house on Detroit's east side on Monday night, trying to make a shortcut, I guess. The fire truck was en route to a scene at Rhones and Moffett Streets when it crashed through a fence and into an empty house. There we go. And local... Uh-oh. There goes the house. Authorities said the car's driver, what kind of car is that? It's a truck. Did not hear this. Oh, they swerved to avoid a car, apparently. Yes, trying to avoid a car. The car's driver did not hear the sirens over his loud music. Four firefighters were treated for their minor injuries and released. And what about the fire they're going to fight? I don't know. Maybe the place burned to the ground. You hear a lot of that, but a lot about that. Especially out here in Vegas, you have the air conditioners cranking away in the cars and the music and the police and the fire department.
Holy guacamole!
They have a hard time getting through these intersections and everything because people can't hear them coming. And I remember years ago, they were talking about putting in this technology in these ambulances and the fire trucks. They actually jam the radio and all that stuff so they could hear the sirens coming. So I don't know if that ever happened. And WPB said, I won't be around during the second hour. Please ask Leah the following. How many episodes will she be in? Godiva's canceled. Will she focus on BSG and other projects? All right. Let me get some. Write that down. I didn't think anybody's going to post any questions. Well, that's good. How many? Actually, Koenig had the same question. How many episodes will she be in? Okay. And in season three. And also any other projects. Well, she did that movie, 88 minutes or 88 seconds, whatever it was. And so she's working on that. And something else I read on the Internet Movie Database that she's in post-production on something else as well. So, and this next one comes in from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. A bug that attacks while people sleep found in Oklahoma City. If you woke up with what you thought was a mosquito bite this morning, think twice. It could be the bite of what's known as the kissing bug. Experts say the kissing bug sucks your blood while you're sleeping. Oh, that's nice.
I have a feeling some bad stuff is about to go down.
It's also known as the cone nose bug. And experts added that it can crawl into cracks in your home and cling onto your pet. And not only are some people allergic to bites from the kissing bug, the bug can also cause Chagas disease, usually found in Latin America. It causes swelling of the liver and can eventually cause heart failure, experts said. Jesus, how come we haven't heard about this bug before?
Mama.
A local resident said he had been bitten by the bug repeatedly, and then I finally caught the bug underneath his bed. He smashed it and it had blood everywhere. Experts say the best way to get rid of the bug is to make sure somebody finds the area into which it crawls and seal it. Household sprays are also effective in eliminating these bugs. So, 88 Minutes is the name of her movie that she's making. Very good. And also, this next one comes in also from today. Operation Pimp nets prostitutes. This is from Las Vegas. A local judge has been arrested as part of a Metro undercover prostitution sting. Mark Peplowski was arrested early Sunday morning for soliciting prostitution. Peplowski is a lawyer and pro tem judge in Henderson, which is just outside of Las Vegas, and second fastest growing city in the country. The arrest report says he was caught near Mojave and Fremont. Mojave and Fremont. I'm trying to figure out where that's at. After paying Karen Harris $50 for oral sex. This is just one of nearly 200 arrests Metro made over the weekend during an undercover sting operation called Operation Pimp. What we're actually out there doing is seeing how many girls are out there prostituting and how many will approach you and solicit. And if that happens, they are arrested, said undercover Metro officers. Over the last 3 months, the prostitution problem in our valley has become worse. They say the reason was their inability to enforce the loitering statute. The Supreme Court determined that the law was constitutionally vague. So they've been after this for years here in Vegas. Every time they get kind of stamped down, they creep back in, and it gets even worse. They've seen an increase of girls in Las Vegas from as far away as Canada, Hawaii, and Wisconsin. It's the way of life for some of these girls, blah, blah, blah. So, of course, there's Nye County just a few minutes from here where the ranches are all legal and everything. So, and then also we had this from today as well. Broken Trail scores big ratings for American movie classics, which is, I saw, it's an outstanding miniseries. Robert Duvall and his movie Broken Trail proved an historic hit for the American Movie Channel on Sunday. It's 9.8 million viewers, which is huge for cable. Yeah, it's huge, making it the most watched program in the network's history. The first part of the two-part telecast, it was second only to another Western, Tom Selleck's Crossfire Trail on TNT. It was more popular than any other program, broadcast or cable Sunday night, which is, it's incredible for that little network. In fact, only five other programs all week on the network broadcast networks brought in more people. So that's pretty good.
It's all about promotion. Anyone can watch. Any show on cable can do as many ratings
as Broken Trail.
Any cable network show can do as many as NBC, ABC. We're talking, 10,
it's
11,
marketed,
12.
Right. Yeah.
As long as you get the word out on the show.
Yeah, and it's excellent. It was excellent. Excellent. I said before, I like Robert Duvall. He was good in Lonesome Dove. He did all that. We need a good old Western.
Open Range.
Open Range. Yeah, you know what? They heard that on Saturday, the night before the first part of Broken Trail. And
that's a kick-ass movie.
Yeah, with Kevin Costner. Because I was watching it, and I thought, I got the days wrong. Is this Broken Trail? they had limited commercial interruptions. So all of a sudden I saw, Open Range, Kevin Costner. This is different. But, Robert Duvall, he does great on these Westerns. I wish we had a TV series, a Western-based series. I even said, how about like a Battlestar Galactica Western version? Like, you take a bunch of stagecoaches, and you send them across the country, and whoever reaches the other end of the country, see if they survive. You kind of translate Galactica into a Western, And have a couple of wagons and all that, The big wagon front be like the Galactica, and they're crawling across the country, and they get attacked by the Indians and everything else. I think that'd be great. But
spare me your sixth grade Michael Moore logic.
I like Westerns. I mean, I remember
you are a meathead.
And then the PAX tried with the Ponderosa, and that was, hokey and cheesy. And
someone better shut their gob hole.
And then they had the Deadwood's is a Western. But it's not a like family Western. It's more of a
Well, if you want
a
sci-fi Western, check out Firefly.
Firefly, yeah. I imagine Torchwood would be like a sci-fi Western as well. But like an old-fashioned with the cowboys and all that. I like Robert Duvall, and his story of these five Chinese girls he picks up that were on their way to some madam's brothel in this town. He didn't speak Chinese, so he called. He gave them all numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And one didn't want to be called number 4 because 4 is bad luck in Chinese and all that. But it was an outstanding story. And just think we need a Western on TV again. Last time I remembered it was any good was Young Riders, but it's been years. And then we also had this one today: Viagra may disrupt Limbaugh plea deal. West Palm Beach, Florida. Investigators were trying to determine Tuesday whether Rush Limbaugh violated a deal with prosecutors in a long-running prescription fraud case when authorities found he had a bottle of Viagra that was apparently prescribed to someone else. Limbaugh, 55, was detained for more than 3 hours Monday at Palm Beach International Airport after returning in his private jet from a vacation in the Dominican Republic. And they're saying that he was on his program this morning saying how how he bought these pills at the Clinton Library, ha ha ha, and the workers there thought they were blue M&Ms and all this BS. But they're saying now this could endanger his plea deal from the OxyContin scandal from last year and a year before. So he joked about it. His lawyer, Roy Black, said that the prescription was written in Limbaugh's doctor's name for privacy purposes. And so he is released without being charged, and investigators confiscated the Viagra, which treats erectile dysfunction. So, and he was saying how he, Bob Dole's luggage got mixed up with his, so he was trying to make light of it on his radio show. And this is also from today. East County residents asked to reduce water usage. Water disconnected while crews work on the Highway 52 project. This is in Santee, California. The Padre Dam Municipal Water District is asking customers to cut their water usage in half Tuesday through Thursday in order for crews to work on the Highway 52 extension project. A pipeline provides 60% of water to the district must be disconnected while the work is underway. The district, blah, blah, blah. District communications, why am I getting all this detailed stuff? My sister helps me slap this together. So brief and to the point. I don't need all this BS with the stories. Definitely the best time to turn your Tuesday until Thursday. They're asking people to turn off their landscape irrigation and avoid filling swimming pools or washing cars from Tuesday until Thursday morning. It's definitely not the best time to turn the water off, but we have to make sure the highway gets built on time. Not only that, but there's going to be a second water reduction that will be necessary in mid-July. So that's amazing. And then, of course, was the story about the Silver Nugget and the shooting. It's happened on Sunday, early Sunday morning. It started out as a fight, but tempers flared, and one man pulled out a gun and opened fire in a crowded casino. It happened early Sunday morning at the Silver Nugget. a small casino in North Las Vegas. One person was killed, and another one was, she was shot in the hand, apparently. And the one was shot was a young kid. He was, I think, 19 or 20 years old. And they said that area, in that area of town, a surprise just hasn't happened, you know, yet over there.
Have you seen the video?
Yes, it's amazing. See, the kid got splashed with water. Else they started opening fire in the casino. It happened. It started in the billiards room, and I guess it spilled out into the casino. It's a small. You been in there? Silver Nugget? Yeah, it's a small little place. I said that before. You walk in there, you're walking on boards. You know, it's like it's a bunch of trailers nailed together. It's odd how the place is, you know, built. And then you got the arena at the other end. And then the sports book's kind of odd, too. You have to step down and go in. It's like, what is this place? and the sign says Silver Nugget Hotel Casino, but there's no hotel. So where's the hotel? But, you know, it's just, you know. There's a couple of casinos up that way, because you got North Las Vegas, you go up Las Vegas Boulevard, those of you who aren't familiar. Once you get past the old downtown area, you got North Las Vegas. You got the Jerry's Nugget, which is on the left, and up further you have, and across the street from them is the Palomino Club, which is another adult club, which is grandfathered in. They can have complete nudity in there because it's an old club. Men and women complete nudity. Wow. And then also... And then it's only one you can do that in, and serve alcohol. They're the only ones that serve alcohol, and then you can have complete nudity in there. Not that I've been in there, but I just happen to know this. And then up there past the Jerry's Nugget is the Silver Nugget, and it's just an odd place. But anyway, so hopefully they'll track down who did this. I say perhaps even more scarier, this suspect had a concealed weapon under his sweatshirt the entire time he was at the casino, and no one knew about it until it was too late. Oh, give me a break. I imagine there's thousands of people in these hotels with concealed weapons we don't know about. I mean, you know, come on. And also we had this teens burn down house over test grades. I guess they got an F. In Tokyo, Japan, a Japanese boy burned down his home, killing his stepmother and two younger siblings for fear his parents would find out he had lied about his score on an English test. I wonder if the United States will get blamed for this. The 16-year-old, whose name has not been released, is thought to have set fire to the house in Nara, in western Japan, and left his stepmother to die, along with his 7-year-old brother and 5-year-old sister. Domestic media reports said on Saturday. The boy's parents had been due to attend a meeting with teachers about his exam results that same day. The teenager told police his father, a doctor, had put him under extreme pressure over his academic performance. So, I guess that's an excuse to scorch your house and kill your stepmother and your two siblings. So, I mean, amazing. Well, maybe. You got these parents putting all kinds of pressure on these kids these days. I mean, it's sad. You can't let them be kids anymore. You got to, you know, make them into geniuses, I guess. And this is also from today, from Jamestown, North Dakota. North Dakota woman catches a piranha in a reservoir. State wildlife officials have a fish story with some teeth to it. Game warden, supervisor, blah, blah, Dick Knapp, a district game warden, responded to a call over a weekend. A woman catching what she thought was a piranha in the Castleton Reservoir. The small fish with big sharp teeth is native to the Amazon River in South America. How the hell did they get it in North Dakota? They said the catch was confirmed by biologists. The state game and fish department believes the 4-inch long red-bellied piranha probably came from someone's aquarium. It had to be somebody's pet, they were saying. The piranha likely was too small to have done any damage to other fish in the reservoir, which has trout, panfish, and other species. He said he has heard of piranha being caught in other states, but this is the first for North Dakota. We have goldfish put in there, but never a piranha. So, wow. I wonder if Rosie O'Donnell was in there. I guess Star Jones is calling her a piranha, so I don't know. And it's also from today, an Elks Club building collapses. There you go. Elks Club building collapses in Missouri on Tuesday. Rescuers saved 9 people trapped in the rubble of a 3-story building that partially collapsed during an Elks Club dinner, but the club's leader was found dead early Tuesday, about 12 hours after the roof fell in. The 32-year-old exalted ruler of the Clinton Elks Lodge had been on the top floor preparing to give a speech when the century-old brick building began to collapse Monday night. Talk about bringing the house down with your speech. But Elks Club, those were big in the Midwest. I know in Chicago, you usually go to Elks Clubs for a banquet after a funeral because it was somewhat cheap to get the room and the food was okay. But generally, after any funeral we had in our family, we all trotted over to the Elks Club for a banquet. And of course, half the family had to get blasted on liquor. This is also from today. Wildfires continue to rage in western states. Lightning starts new blazes in Nevada. Hundreds stranded at the Grand Canyon. This is from Reno, Nevada. Lightning started a half dozen new wildfires around Reno and Carson City early Tuesday, adding to blazes they already had charred more than 50,000 acres of northern Nevada. More than two dozen fires were active, many out of control, scattered from the heavily timbered western front of the Sierra Nevada near Reno and to the sage grass-covered rangeland near Elko, Nevada, 300 miles east. As many as 300 homes and businesses east of Carson City, including a legal brothel, were threatened by a pair of brush fires. So, yeah, these fires are raging out of control. A lot of people, it's like 100 tourists are trapped in the Grand Canyon because they closed off the roads because of the fire. You get a lot of that in Las Vegas. A lot of these people coming to town, they go on these tours of the Grand Canyon, and then some of those people stay in these lodges in the Grand Canyon. They get trapped in these fires. So, and then also we had this from Monday. Small explosion comes from Diet Pepsi bottle. It's from Charles City, Iowa. The State Fire Marshal Division was called to investigate a small explosion that happened this week in Charles City. A firefighter used a long pole to move the explosive device away from a building just seconds before it exploded Thursday evening. No one was injured by the small explosion, which came from a plastic 20-ounce Diet Pepsi bottle. This is 20 ounces here. Boy, I must have packed a wallop. Let's see here. I lost my... no one was injured by the small explosion. The police closed off the block for more than an hour during the incident. Authorities said they will test a white substance that covered the street and curb after the device exploded. I don't know why they keep calling it a device. It's a damn Pepsi bottle. Why do they refer to it as a Pepsi bottle? Maybe Pepsi will sue them. I don't know. And also from Monday, we had the state legislator charged with OUI. What is OUI? OUI after minor accident from Portland, Maine. Police have charged a two-term lawmaker from Winterport with OUI after he allegedly hit a parked car outside. Allegedly, of course, a parked car outside of a popular restaurant and bar. Bangor police said Republican Representative Jeff Kalin's, I wonder if he's related to Cato Kalin, his blood alcohol level was 0.13, nearly two-thirds more than the legal limit. Wow. A Bangor bike patrol officer saw Kalin hit a parked car next to his pickup as he tried to leave the Sea Dog Lounge Friday night. Kalin then failed six sobriety tests. Well, he was blasted. The arresting officer says Kalin repeatedly stated that he was a legislator. When the officer expressed disappointment, Kalin replied, "This is nothing." Despite the incident, many people in Winterport say will still support Kalin in his reelection. Unbelievable. Kalin told police there's a clean driving record, but the state says Kalin was ticketed seven times for speeding between 13 and 21 miles over the limit. Also, he has tickets for running a stop sign and fouling too closely. So I guess that's, I don't know if that can considered a clean record. I'm not sure. So, but I wonder if he's related to Cato. I don't know. What's OUI? OUI, under the influence? Operating under the influence or something? I don't know. Next one's from Monday from WMUR-TV in Brentwood, New Hampshire. Taekwondo instructor sentenced for assaulting a student. A Taekwondo instructor was sentenced to up to 35 years in prison Monday after he was found guilty of 12 felony sexual assault charges involving a 15-year-old girl. The judge describes judge describes the charges against Keith Ingram of New Market, New Hampshire as rank and heinous. Ingram was a Taekwondo instructor for troubled kids, and his victim was a student in his class. Pervert. Prosecutors detailed Ingraham's relationship with the victim, saying he referred to her as his wife. The girl and her stepmother...
Do it again, and you'll be admiring my butt from the pavement with the straw.
Wow. The girl and her stepmother testified during sentencing that Ingraham betrayed their trust. Oh, no kidding. Ingraham's victim said that the assault had affected her relationships at school. I don't know. I guess it would. I don't know. That's a little statement there. And that's ridiculous. You know, these teachers assaulting these students, especially the troubled ones. And this next one's from Monday. A dolphin is found in the Raritan River. This is from WABC in New York. A New Brunswick firefighters tried to coax what they believe is a gray bottlenose dolphin out of the Raritan River. and back to sea. Officials tell them that the dolphin was spotted by someone in nearby Donaldson Park. The fire department's marine unit then tried to direct the dolphin downstream, but it continued to swim upstream, and they lost contact with the animal. Oh, too bad. Made her probably serve it for dinner in some restaurant in uptown New York, probably. And also, they had this for Monday. A woman arrested after stopping bus and slapping the driver. I guess she didn't like the fare. I don't know. Maryville, Indiana.
Sometimes you have to slap them in the face just to get their attention.
Is that Zsa Gabor? I remember when she, darling, and then she slapped that cop. Remember that? Maryville, Indiana. It's a nice little town out, not too far outside of Chicago. Police say a 21-year-old woman pulled her car in front of a public bus in Maryville, Indiana, got on the bus, and slapped the driver because she thought the bus was following her.
Sometimes you have to slap them in the face just to get their attention.
This dizzy woman. Linda Reed, of course, with a name like that. Yeah, Linda Reed of Gary. Gary, Indiana, that's a rough city in Indiana, faces battery and public intoxication charges. Reed told police she was upset with the bus driver because she thought he was fouling her late Wednesday. The 53-year-old bus driver told the police that Reed pulled her car in front of the bus, causing him to stop. According to the police, Luther then tried to hit the driver through the bus window and eventually entered the stop bus. She slapped the driver hard enough to knock his glasses off, then picked him up and threw him out the window. What a lunatic. You know, she's going on the same street as the bus, and she thinks the bus is following her because, I don't know, wacko. And what else? This is also from Monday. Bicyclists killed and crashed with two big rigs and two other vehicles. How the hell is a bike involved in a crash with two big rigs? But Boulder, Colorado, a female bicyclist was struck and killed in a crash that involved another cyclist, two semi-trailers, and two other vehicles. The accident occurred about 10 a.m., on the railroad tracks at 63rd Street and Diagonal Highway in Boulder County. State troopers said a mother and her daughter were riding their bicycles south on 63rd Street. As they crossed the Diagonal Highway, a gravel truck hit a semi that was then pushed into the daughter's bicycle. What the? And troopers believe that the gravel truck ran a red light. They are focusing their investigation on the gravel truck to see if the brakes failed or some other malfunction. The troopers say the mother of the daughter was not injured, but the drivers of both the gravel truck and the semi were taken to local hospitals with non-life-threatening injuries. There's not a whole lot the cyclists could do. They probably didn't even see it coming, said a witness. It's a busy highway. There's also a lot of bike traffic. Generally, most motorists are aware of the bikes. So, Concrete Express, the owner of the truck, believed to be responsible for the accident, would not comment specifically about the accident. Yeah, because they're going to get sued like crazy, probably. But, that's a strange stroke of luck, you know, bad luck there. You're riding a bike, all of a sudden you get tied up in kind of a tractor, a big rig accident, and all these bikes and trucks and everything. Ooh. And this next one's from Monday. Arrest warrant details nuns' alleged embezzlement. It's from Omaha, Nebraska. An arrest warrant issued for an Omaha Catholic nun details how she allegedly used church money on gambling, gifts, and travel. Sister Barbara Markey ran the Omaha Archdiocese Family Life Office until she was fired in January. Now Markey could be facing up to 20 years in prison for theft by deception. The arrest warrant alleges that Markey spent more than $307,000 in Archdiocese funds. A church audit produced an itemized list, which includes $81,000 in cash or cash advances, $67,000 to casinos, $33,000 on gifts, and $31,000 on clothing, furniture, and another $24,000 on travel. Wow. I guess she's not very Christian after all, is she? So, yeah, amazing, huh? But a nun embezzling all that money? Good luck getting it back. And then from Sunday, we had this from Petaluma, California. Shelter takes in 1,000 rats. A Northern California animal shelter is chock full of rats after 1,000 rodents were confiscated from area home. Authorities in Petaluma said Roger Deer was living in filthy conditions, which prompted neighbors to complain. Animal control officers found some of the rats running loose, while the others were stuffed in cages 6 deep. Ugh. City officials said they want a court order limiting the number of animals deer can keep and the authority to for periodic inspections. based right there here in Vegas. They had this, what, this one woman had like 80 cats living in her house or something like that. I was like, oh, my God. And I went into the house. It was just filthy, and you know, she wasn't cleaning up after. It was just disgusting. So speaking of, and then also we have this from Chicago from Sunday. Vandals target Southwestern Cemetery. We had a story like this last week. Vandals trashed dozens of graves in a Darien cemetery this weekend. They targeted one area of the cemetery to include some of the smallest graves. Every week, Dawn Griffo visits the gravesite of her daughter, Michaela Marie. On Sunday morning, Michaela's grandfather came to the Clarendon Hills Cemetery in Darien, only to find his granddaughter's gravesite and several others vandalized. These are baby graves we're talking about. Today, when I got here, I noticed that the flowers were missing off of her grave. And I called my wife and told her that someone had stolen them, and then all of a sudden I noticed that the vase was missing, according to, that's the grandfather. Dawn Griffo's daughter was born 4 months premature. She only lived 23 minutes. Griffo's family looks at the cemetery as the home Kayla Marie never had. The mother said, this is her resting place. She never got to have a home with me or any other than in my stomach. This is where I come, blah, blah, blah. The mother says she feels violated, and she can't understand why anyone would want to steal from a gravesite, especially from a baby who never had a chance to live. Yeah, it's sad. That's terrible. Can't go visit their own daughter. Only lasted 23 minutes, and they can't go to the grave. Expect the grave being the same shape when they buried her, because these vandals are trashing the grave. So, and it's also from Sunday. Peninsula Players raise curtain on new theater. This is from Fish Creek, Wisconsin. The curtain is going up in a new theater in Door County, which is a pretty infamous county up in Wisconsin. There, up in like you look at Wisconsin, it's kind of like the thumb over there of Door County at the Lake Michigan, kind of goes around like a peninsula there. Peninsula Players opened their first play at the new $6.7 million theater. Terry McNally's Masterclass, focusing on a masterclass by the late opera star Maria Callas, runs through July 9th at the new theater near Fish Creek. They say the move to new theater is the biggest step in the troupe's history, blah, 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 since it's founded in 1935. The theater has lots of new amenities. The biggest change for the actors is equipment for raising and lowering scenery and providing lighting and sound. They will present 5 productions before the season ends in October. That's when the snow starts falling and it starts getting freezing up there in Door County. So every good chance, Door County is a really nice place. It's a resort community up there in Wisconsin. And also from Saturday, we had ex-teacher accused of raping 2 7-year-olds. This is from Liberal, Kansas. A former teacher at Liberal High School is being held on charges of raping 2 7-year-old children. Authorities said Michael Lambden, 36, was charged originally with 2 counts of the alleged rape of 1 child and his sexual exploitation of a child.
He's doing something to his ass.
Sad.
He's not kicking his ass, but he's definitely doing something to his ass.
I think we like to all kick this guy's ass.
You sick son of a bitch!
Absolutely.
You sick, you twisted bastard running hell and dying! You son of a
But since his arrest May 9th, 3 more charges have been added. The alleged...
I like penis.
The alleged rape of another 7-year-old, indecent liberties with a child under the age of 14, and aggravated intimidation of a witness. Lambden's lawyers asked Thursday for a continuance because of the new charges, but the
judge... It's time to abort your whole friggin' species.
This SOB in Kansas, they're disgusting. And then also another embezzlement story from Saturday from Windsor, Missouri. Ex-librarian accused of embezzlement. Windsor's former head librarian, who left town last year, has been charged with stealing more than $25,000 from the city. A warrant signed May 5th by a judge charged Phyllis Jones, 69 years old, with 10 counts of stealing. A detective said that in the probable cause statement that that Jones wrote 56 checks to herself on the library account. She was the head librarian at the Lenora Blackmore Public Library for 19 years, allegedly wrote checks totaling $25,000 between January 2003 and May 2005. Most remain out to her, with some payable to her children, and her grandson. The probable cause, blah, blah, blah. Well, they catch her and throw her away, too. I mean, what the hell's going on here with these people?
Could we get rid of all the Mexicans?
No, she's not Mexican. Court documents say that when she resigned, Jones took with her all library records, including paid and unpaid bills, financial reports, and board meeting documents.
You are one pathetic loser.
Generally, don't they check people when they're leaving to make sure they're not walking out with stuff? I don't know. Maybe not in there they do. Maybe Missouri is more trusting than the other parts of the country. But I know I'd be checking them. Hey, you know, before you leave, let's frisk you and see what you're walking out of here with. And also, this is also from Saturday from Deland, Florida. Store clerk gets jail for urinating in soda. A practical joke has landed a former Florida convenience store clerk in more trouble than he expected. The man who urinated in a bottle of Mountain Dew. Sometimes you can't tell if it's Mountain Dew.
You are one pathetic loser.
Well, sometimes, you know, I don't drink Mountain Dew, but you're looking at it, sometimes you're like, oh, man, is that really Mountain Dew? It kind of looks like, you know, it's like piss.
What the shit is that?
The man who urinated in a bottle of Mountain Dew that a customer later drank will spend 6 months in jail. Anthony Mesa has pleaded no contest to tampering with a consumer product. Police in Deltona, Florida, charged Mesa and another clerk who decided to play some practical jokes. They put eggs in beer cartons. And according to authorities, Mesa urinated in the soda bottle and put it back in a refrigerator. The tainted soda was later drunk by a construction worker. He probably came back and beat the hell out of this kid with a construction worker who has settled a civil complaint against the store. In addition to the 6 months, in jail, Mesa remained on a form of house arrest for another 2 years after his release. Mesa had been faced up to 30 years in prison for the prank. Wow. They don't mess around there in Florida. Holy cow. But disgusting. I remember that story years ago. I think it was on Dateline where this guy was urinating in the coffee and his coworkers were drinking the coffee all this time. And they all started getting like rashes and all this stuff. And they finally put a hidden camera and they saw it. They taped him, you know, urinating into the coffee thing. You know, coffee, what the hell they call that thing? The coffee pot. And then they arrested him. So, yeah, I imagine more of this goes on, we realize, you know. I remember somebody else telling me the story about, I don't want to name the company, I don't want to get sued, but like a soup company that makes soup. And they said some of the stuff that goes into those vats with the soup is amazing as well. The walkers walk over these vats and they spit in it and everything else, but it gets boiled away in these big vats of soup. So anyway, this is from Saturday. Fan forgets hotel location in 6-hour ordeal. German police rescued an American soccer fan lost in Hanover, Germany, and unable to find his hotel again after helplessly wandering around the city for more than 6 hours after a match, federal police said on Friday. A 25-year-old Boston man, that's the problem right there. You know, not only can the Red Sox put together two winning years, fans are get lost in a little town in Germany. The 25-year-old Boston man had checked into his hotel in the afternoon before going to see a match between Poland and Costa Rica, but could not remember his hotel's name, its address, or anything else about it. How the hell can you not know what the name of your damn hotel you're staying in? You know, it's stupid. The only thing you remember was paying 10 euros for a taxi ride to the city center and that he went past a park and a Mercedes dealer. In Germany, I think there's like 50 of them there. There are a lot of Mercedes dealers in Hanover, but we were able to find the one in the vicinity of a park. The police then took the American to the area that matched his vague description, the city of 500,000, and spent an hour driving up and down the streets in that quarter until he recognized his hotel just before dawn on Wednesday. Stupid. The next one is also from Saturday. This is a story I saw on Countdown. Man's bottled message found after his death. Years after casting a bottled up note into a lake for a class project and just 1 year after his death, a man's childhood message has been found and returned to his mother. I saw that. It was amazing. 11 years ago, a then 10-year-old Joshua Baker wrote the message nestled in an empty vanilla container. His mother, Maggie Holbrook, said he died last February following a motor vehicle accident in California. He had recently returned after serving in the Middle East as a U.S. Marine. She says, "I think he was just letting us know he's okay and to keep doing what we're doing," she said. The message surfaced in White Lake in late April, just days after the 11th anniversary of its casting. It was found by one of Baker's closest friends, the mother said. And also, Leader and the two friends were chatting near the lake when they looked down. Who is the friend? Leader. Steve Leader is the friend. They're chatting near the lake. When they looked down, they saw the bottle. They broke it open and found a note inside. And the note said, "I am Josh Baker. I am 10 years old. If you find this, put it on the news." The date was April 16, 1995. They immediately took it to his mother, who said she is now having the note preserved and will display it in her home. She can remember when her son wrote the message for the school project, and she always wondered why they didn't put it in the nearby Wolf River, which has a much stronger current. And she says she remembers the day he wrote it, and she couldn't understand why they threw it into that lake. But no one will ever see it again. Now she knows why. Apparently, she's saying it's a prophecy that it'll come back to her years after his death. So I thought that was amazing. That was pretty nice. And then also, this is also from Saturday. A professor's libel suit Saturday in Helena, Montana, from Beartooth NBC. I think we're a network with a TV station with that name on it. Three Montana State University students are suing two professors for libel. The case stems from a MSU architecture professor, Joanne Noel's accusations that six of her students cheated on an assignment in late 2004. They were exonerated by the school's conduct board after a 10-hour hearing. However, before the hearing, a painting by Noel's husband, an art professor, was displayed in Haynes Hall, which houses the architecture and art programs. The work was titled Six Foolish Weasels and Two Puffed Up Suits. The words, the painting include the words busted and architecture, A-R-C-H-I, torture, architecture. Assistant Attorney General John Melcher is representing the Knowles. He says the lawsuit lacks merit because it's a free speech issue. So that was interesting. The students are fighting back against this professor to accuse them of a libel. And also from Friday, from Louisville, Kentucky, a girl shot in mouth in critical condition from Port Royal, Kentucky. A four-year-old girl is in critical condition at Cosair Children's Hospital after she was shot in the mouth Wednesday night by a two-year-old. Where the hell did they get the gun? WLKY News Channel 32 reported. Kentucky. She's wearing one of them gun like Rambo. Kentucky State Police said Sarah Marie Courtney of Port Royal was shot with a .38 caliber revolver. She was flown to the Children's Hospital. She was flown there just after 7 p.m. Wednesday with what troopers describe as a possible life-threatening injuries. The name of the other child has not been released. No charges have been filed. Courtney was apparently visiting a friend's house when the incident occurred. The gun was stored in a drawer in the parent's bedroom. It's obvious these kids were playing around and found these guns. Obviously,
I have a feeling some bad stuff is about to go down.
And obviously, it says, we have a very, very unfortunate accident. Oh, that's the understatement of the year. And the next one's also from Friday. Reward now offered for animal's killer. From Boston, a $2,500 reward is now being offered to help find the person who impaled a dog on a fence in Boston's Roxbury neighborhood. News Center 5's Gail Huff reported that the small 13-pound dog... Oh, poor thing. That the small... Whoa! Shooting the dog now? the 13-pound dog was discovered impaled on the fence on Perrin Street Thursday. The investigators were going door-to-door searching for witnesses who may have seen how the miniature pincher was killed. This is a horrific way for anything to end its life, said the animal. Tom Flanagan of the Animal Rescue League. The authorities said the dog was likely thrown down onto the iron spikes. The animal was alive at the time of impact. Luckily, though, because of the injury is so horrific, the death was almost instantaneous. Over their head was the only way they could bring
it. Holy cow!
Over their head was the only way they could bring it down with such force to do that kind of penetration. Oh my God! The residents were shaken by such an extreme form of animal cruelty. No kidding. What kind of person would do that to a dog in the first place? This one lady was saying, disgusting. The animal owner of the dog was unknown. Animal cruelty is a felony in Massachusetts, punishable to up to 5 years in prison. How'd you like to be sitting in a prison
Could
with...
Could we get rid of all the Mexicans?
How'd you like to be sitting in a prison next to some guy named Rufus saying, what are you in here for? Impaling a dog. Mop the floor or something like that, you know? And next one's from Thursday and from Kansas City, Kansas. Don't forget, there's Kansas City, Missouri. This is Kansas City, Kansas. Witnesses, man set fire to ex-girlfriend's house from KNBC in Kansas City, Kansas. Police are looking for a man suspected of assaulting his ex-girlfriend and then setting fire to her home. They report that the family and witnesses identified Cameron King, 29, as the man who set fire to the home where his ex-girlfriend and their young children lived. I can't believe he would do this to his kids, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, these people are just losing their minds, you know. As I said, too bad we can't grab the whole plan, just give it a good shake, you know what I mean? Bring this plan to its senses. He kicked in the door, she ran out the back. He went to the shed and got something, and then the house went up in flames, said a witness. So, yeah, it's disgusting. And also from Friday, we had this from KIRO-TV in Washington State, from Kitsap County, Washington. Officers accidentally shoot man in a tree. Oh, that's not funny, but it is. Maybe Kitsap. What's in Kitsap? Uh-oh. Officers responding to a welfare check of a man in a tree in Kitsap County accidentally shot the man in an attempt to use a taser on him. These are the damn Keystone Cops. What the hell? Obviously. The man had been holed up in the tree for hours. A officer used his taser on the man, and after it had no effect, the officer then asked another officer to taser the man. The other officer accidentally used his gun instead of his taser, and the man in the tree was shot. That's the suspect. The man sustained one gunshot wound and was taken to... wow. I don't think he fired a missile at him, but... unbelievable. You know, he'll be suing the police department there. And another one is from San Jose, California, and from Friday. A San Jose mayor refuses to resign after being indicted. Mayor Ron Gonzalez rejected calls to step down after he was booted on fraud, bribery, booked on fraud, bribery, and conspiracy charges from a grand jury probe into a secretly negotiated garbage contract. Gonzalez, 55, was released on a $50,000 bond after being indicted in six counts Thursday for allegedly brokering a backroom deal that cost taxpayers more than $11 million. He refused to resign his post and continued to deny any wrongdoing in the scandal that has dogged him for nearly 2 years. It sounds like a Chicago political story there. So, oh well, hopefully they'll put him away or get to the bottom of that. And then we had all this also from Thursday. Woman, speaking of trees, woman climbs tree in attempt to save it. This is from Tingsboro, Massachusetts. A Tingsboro woman has perched herself in a pine tree to protest her neighbor's plans to cut it down. They reported that the tree, a 150-year-old white pine, is on the property line between the two neighbors in their yards. The one neighbor, Corcolicus, said he believes the tree is on his property. He said it is in poor health and needs to come down. But when a logger came to remove the tree, DeMoro, which is the other neighbor, climbed up the tree and vowed to stay there. And she goes on to quote that, "I made my peace with this tree last year. I made my peace with this tree last year when my neighbors talked to me about cutting it down." Wow, she made her peace with the tree. What the hell? "I told them I could not condone it, but if they thought it was life or death safety issue for their family, it would not stand in the way because I believe in peace. But everything changed when the logger told me he was going to haul it away for firewood." What were they going to do with the tree anyway? You can't say you cut it down. What the hell are they going to do with the damn tree? So anyway, we're at the end of our first hour. So we'll be back in a couple minutes with hopefully we'll be Leah Cairns. And once again, the subject to discussion live on LVRocks.com. We'll talk to you in just a couple minutes.
Traveling in a fighter combi on a hippie trailhead full of zombies, I met a strange lady, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, "Do you come from a land down under? Where women go and men wonder? Can't you hear the thunder? You better run, you better take cover." I said, "Do you speak my language?" He just smiled and gave me a Vegemite sandwich. And he said, "I can't.
originating from Las Vegas, Nevada, you're listening to LV Rocks. Noise from Vegas.
And welcome back to the second hour of Subject to Discussion Live on LVRocks.com. I think that's our guest there on the line right there. And once again, I'm Sean O'Mac, Sean Daly. You can call me anything you want. Just do not call me late for dinner. And once again, if it's Tuesday night in Las Vegas, it's time for Subject to Discussion, brother. And let's see, what else? I actually saw something now. I was just looking at Yahoo, and they have the, actually, thank you everybody listening to the program live, and everybody, thank you for everybody listening to the program on podcast. Thank you very much. And everybody in the chat room, I saw something. Peter Gammons apparently suffered a brain aneurysm. Where did it go now? Of course, the ESPN sports guru, basically baseball. Oh, my Lord, what happened to it now? Well, it was on there a second ago on Yahoo. And, yes, ESPN's Gammons suffers brain aneurysm. And hopefully he's all right. You know, brain aneurysms could be serious or not so serious depending on the severity of the brain aneurysm. So hopefully he'll be all right. But apparently he suffered a brain aneurysm. Peter Gammons was stricken with a brain aneurysm Tuesday morning and underwent surgery at a local hospital in Boston. The 61-year-old Gammons is expected to be in intensive care for 10 to 12 days, the Boston Globe reported in its website. He's worked at the Globe since 1969, so hopefully he'll be all right, because I watch ESPN to get the results from the White Sox from Chicago and everything else, so hopefully he'll be all right. But anyway, I think we'll be joined in a moment by our guest. And we are joined by Leah Cairns from Battlestar Galactica and also, 88 Minutes? Hello?
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
Fine, how are you?
I'm good.
Yes. How was your trip to Las Vegas?
from the parts that I remember were really, really fun.
You didn't come visit me. I was crushed.
I tried. Caesar's is humongous.
Yes. Caesar's
like
is...
the concierge is where? I couldn't even find it.
it's hidden away in the corner, so nobody comes near us. No, we're up by the front desk.
I looked everywhere. My husband was even in a poker tournament at Caesar's, and I walked around and walked around. Maybe I had too many beverages. I don't know.
Now, was he in the Opportunity Village poker tournament at Pure? Or was it another poker tournament?
Oh, I don't know.
No, because they had a couple of them. They had one over in the nightclub, Pure, which was for a local charity. A lot of celebrities came out for that, and I think they had another one upstairs in the meeting room. So I think maybe that's where he was. I'm not sure, but anyway, yeah. Caesar's is the largest hotel in Las Vegas with the square footage.
Yeah, it was crazy. It's crazy there. So, yeah, I looked. It was so disappointing. I thought I'd actually know somebody there.
Well, it's all right. Well, I mean, because you get the Caesars Casino and you got the Forum Shops and all that. Just crazy. You know, a couple weeks ago, I saw Aaron Douglas. He came through, and I spot him. It's hard to spot people because there's so many people going in and out of that casino. You know what I'm saying?
And you didn't stop him? You didn't
see him? I did. He jumped about 20 feet in the air because I saw him walking by. I go, Aaron Douglas, and he just... I think he thought it was one of those groupies coming after him. You know what I mean?
Oh, hilarious.
But he jumped about 20 feet in the air. But, yeah, he was here for the Antiquities. They're running a autograph signing for some of the Star Wars people.
Oh, yeah.
And he was here for that, at the hotel for that. But, you know, it was amazing. So, anyway.
He's down a lot. He actually hooked us up with a couple things here and there. He's connected in Vegas.
He absolutely is. He's got more connections than I do. And but Vegas is fun. But it's hot, though. It's 110. It's amazingly hot here in Vegas.
I know. Well, I was actually really excited about it because I think that the hottest day we've had so far, it's nice now in Vancouver, but the nicest day we had had before I went to Vegas, I think, was 80. So to go there, and it was 110 or whatever it was, I loved it. Yeah. I was a happy camper.
Really? You like the heat?
Oh, I lived for it.
Really? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. When I first moved here from Chicago, it was hard to get used to because every summer I'm like, oh, my God, this heat's going to kill me. And then your blood they say it thins out after a while. Now it's no big deal. When it gets below 60, I start shivering because, like, oh, my God, it's freezing here. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. And I lived in Asia for such a long time. I'm really used to the heat. In Vancouver, they don't even really have summers up here. It gets nice, but it's never, ever hot. And so my husband, he said, okay, Leah, when we go down, I have to go to a poker tournament, and I have to go on the Stratosphere roller coaster, and I have to, and he had this big list of things he had to do.
Yeah.
And he's like, what do you have to do? And I said, really, baby? I just want to sweat. That's my only goal.
lay around at the pool, or no?
No, there was too much going on.
Yeah, there's a lot to do in Vegas. Did you go over to the Star Trek deal, the Star Trek The Experience?
No, we missed it. I didn't even know what was going on until I went into the monorail and saw it advertised there.
Yeah, it's pretty big over there. You go in there, I feel like I need my Star Trek fix, I go in there because even at the bar, they're all dressed. You're all dressed up in costume. Yeah, they come
That's so great. Where is it? The Hilton?
Yeah, it's at the Las Vegas Hilton. You walk up to the bar and it's Quarks, and they get some Ferengi there. When he goes, "What do you want?" You know, it's amazing. And the drinks are all what they had in the show. They go, "Oh, you want some Romulan ale?" And they give it to you, and it's the green blue drink and everything.
That's hysterical. Yeah. We have to get a Battlestar one now.
That's why I posted that in the sci-fi. But yeah, Ron Moore should put one in. Some
ambrosia.
I don't know. Well, Star Wars, Lucas is supposed to put one in at the Mirage, like a Star Wars experience. But then the hotel was sold, and it kind of went away. But it's a good idea for Star Wars, or even Battlestar.
That would be so funny.
Yeah,
I would love it.
So anyway, how have you
in Raptors?
How have you been? We haven't seen you talked to you in a while here on this program.
Yeah, it's been a while. Been well.
When we last saw you, you just got the role in 88 Minutes, right?
Yes.
And then now that wrapped. Now, how was that experience?
I got to spend, I think, 5 days working with Al Pacino.
Oh.
It was pretty amazing.
Yeah. Actually, Al Pacino's here at Caesars.
He is?
Yes, he's filming some movie here in town. Seriously. Yes. Yes.
Oh, I wish I would have known that.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he's there for... I probably shouldn't have given that out. I'll probably get nailed. Oh, but I keep forgetting I'm on another radio program. Oh, man. But anyway, he's under an assumed name, so that takes care of that. But
You are a meathead.
Absolutely, I'm a meathead. I forget. Like last week with Katie, I started talking about something. I forget I'm on a radio. I feel like I'm on the phone. But yeah, he's there. He's filming some movie in town, I guess. But he's there for like a month, I believe, or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You are one pathetic loser.
Wow. So how was it working with him? He's an amazing man.
It was really, really good. I have to admit that I hadn't seen a lot of his films, and I hadn't seen many of his early films when I worked with him. And people are like, oh, well, you have to watch Dog Day Afternoon, you have to watch Scarface, you have to watch all these shows before you work with them. And I thought, no, you know what, I'd rather wait until after. And I'm so glad that I did, because the man is a god when it's in the acting world. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad. I remember watching the movies afterwards and going, oh my god, I worked with him.
Yeah.
And I would have been probably a little starstruck had I watched them all before, but I didn't. So it was really fun. It was fine. We had to do some kind of intimate stuff, and I'm glad that I wasn't,
starstruck.
Nervous, and it was all very cool. And we got to do a dance scene, which was probably one of the highlights of my life, and definitely the highlight of my acting career. Afterwards, I threw my hands up in the air and I went, that's it, ladies and gentlemen, I quit. I'm not going to get better than dancing with Al Pacino.
No, I mean, he's one of the, you speak of great actors of our time, he's one of the, four or five you can think of on top of your head.
How tall is he?
He's about like 5'10". He's not very tall, is he?
5'10". He's probably shorter than that. He's like 5'4".
Really?
He's probably 5'5" and a half.
Wow.
Six, maybe. I took my shoes off to dance with him.
Wow.
So you've never seen Scarface then?
Oh, I have now, but I hadn't seen it.
Oh, that was probably
so
his...
glad I hadn't seen it.
Yeah, that, and then Devil's Advocate, of course. He was
well,
in
his
that.
Older ones are better. Like, Dog Day Afternoon is a good one.
Yeah, yeah.
Dog Day Afternoon, Scarface, The Godfathers, and then reading up on all the trivia around Scarface, or around The Godfathers, how nobody...
So now you know why...
...didn't want him to do it, and...
Yeah.
Now you know why...
He got a lot of flack.
Now you know why everyone says, hello to my little friend.
Yeah, totally.
Now, what's...
Even on set, you could hear people doing it. And I thought, oh, the poor man. How many times has he heard that?
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of people get him mixed up with Dustin Hoffman all the time, I found. You know what I mean?
I think Robert De Niro.
Oh, Robert De Niro. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Now,
a lot of people get...
Now, when is that movie coming out, 88 Minutes? It's in post-production, right?
Yeah, I just did some post-sound ADR stuff on it right before the day I left for Vegas, actually. So last Thursday. And they're still working on that, so I don't suspect it will be out until maybe October. But I'm just guessing. Nobody, none of us know.
Now, what's the, you know, spoil the whole movie. What's like the basic story? You know, 88 minutes. What's the story of that movie?
Basically, Al plays a psychiatrist who, he is always a star witness in big, huge murder cases, and he's the one that puts the bad guys behind jail. And he gets his life threatened, and he basically has 88 minutes to save his life.
Wow. That's an interesting take on a movie. Yeah, it'd be a good premise, huh?
I guess it's real time, like an 88-minute movie, and it's an 88 minutes. So it's more of a real time kind of feel to it.
So it's kind of like 24, but, you know, made into a movie. Kind of.
Sort of.
Yeah. Wow, very good.
And directed by John Avnet, who's pretty fantastic and real actor's director. We had such a fantastic time.
So
yeah, I can't wait to see it.
Now, where's your billing in the credits now?
Oh, I'm front billing.
Very good.
Right up at the beginning.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's going to be cool.
Yeah. It'll be exciting.
Yeah, you should keep that as part of the shot. What do you call it? In Disney, they have the what do you call it? Oh my God, the cartoon frames, and they hang it up on their. You can hang it up on your wall and stuff. Really?
Yeah.
No, that's a big movie. Al Pacino, and then you know what I mean, that's cool.
Yeah. Well, I kept the call sheet with my name on it, along with there was Al Pacino, Amy Brenneman, Lily Sobieski, William Forsythe, Deborah Kara Unger, Ben McKenzie, and then me.
Wow.
On the call sheet in that order.
That's pretty cool.
Very exciting.
Because now William Forsythe, he was in the Al Capone series. What was it? He was in The Untouchables.
He's one of those guys that's been in a million things. He's got a resume as long as my arm.
Yeah, yeah. And then after that, now you have Kicking It Old School. Now what's that about?
Oh, Kicking It Old School. It's a comedy, and it's about a guy who goes into a coma during a breakdancing contest when he's 12 years old, or 10 years old, I think, and he comes out of it 20 years later, and he's still kicking it old school, and everybody else is obviously, you know, in the year 2000, and he's stuck in the 80s, and it is absolutely hysterical.
Really? Now, who's in that?
Jamie Kennedy.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah, Jamie Kennedy starring. And there's a lot of really, there's going to be some great dancing in it. Old school break dancing. There's going to be crumping. It's going to be hilarious. Deborah Jo Rupp is in it. Maria, how do you say her last name? Maria Menounos.
I don't know who that is.
She does the E-Talk, the talk show host.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, she'll be in it too. So that should be pretty good.
Because it's in the 80s, there's cameos by everyone from John Ratzenberger to, I think, David Hasselhoff and Kip are in it, Emmanuel Lewis.
Wow.
Who? And they're all in one big flashback scene. It's hysterical.
That should be cool. Now, is it flashbacks of how they look now or flashbacks from the old, all those old series? I wonder.
They're it's as if they're in those old series.
Wow,
so
very good.
Eric Estrada shows up, and Rowdy Rodney Piper shows up, and they're all in. I don't want to give too much away.
No, that's okay.
It's all in. He has a flashback, and they're all there as their characters.
Wow, that should be cool.
Because
actually, Emmanuel Lewis shows up once in a while at Caesars as well.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he walks in, everybody's like, oh, my God, it's Webster.
Now Webster, yeah.
Aw. The poor guy. And he's like, what? He's in his 30s, I think, now at least.
He should be, yeah.
But
late 30s.
It's amazing. Actually, a question from the chairman now. You're talking about Godiva. Now, Godiva has been canceled. Will you focus on BSG or any other projects?
Well, it was a huge shock that Godiva was canceled. We weren't prepared for that at all. We were under every impression that it was going to go into a third season. And then last minute, it just got canned. So I'm still kind of bouncing back from that and trying to figure out exactly what I want to do. I'm still obviously doing Battlestar. I would love to, I don't even know. I would love to do more on Battlestar. I'm available to do it now, so
that's
we'll
cool.
see. It's all up to the writers where they go with it. So.
Well, hopefully they'll increase the role. Now, they're on episode, four?
They're filming, they're filming 7 right now.
7, wow.
And I just got the scripts delivered for 8 and 9.
So you're in that, so that's good.
And, they're fantastic.
Really? And you look to the back, and your character's still alive. You walk out.
It's the very first thing I do, Sean. I go right to the back. Oh, she's still alive. Okay, good.
Aaron Douglas does the same thing. The first time he gets the script, he looks to the back and see if the character walks out of the scene or gets carried out.
Yeah, no, it's true. I think we all do it. And people are dropping like flies this year.
Wow. Well, they've said it, maintain some realism for the series. Some people are going to have to get killed off and everything. So you hate to see people go, but, like you say, one door closes and everyone will open,
I know. It's just really, we all understand that.
Yeah.
It's really, really hard to accept when you're on a show that has, that you love the people that you're working with, that films in your hometown, that is actually really good.
Yeah.
So it would be, I had all those things in Godiva's, and I have all those things in Battlestar. So, I would be devastated if it killed me.
Well, maybe they could send some of the people, I don't know how logical that would be, like say, whoever they kill, they can move them over to the spinoff. They're doing Caprica, maybe send a couple people over there, have them change their look or something, and, throw
that's
them in.
True. I never thought of that. How do you think the fans would react to that? Would it be like, I know they do that on soap operas, and I think it's really cheesy that they just keep using the same
actors over and over and over
from one soap to another, but I don't know, maybe...
I don't know. Maybe they changed the look. It's a problem I had with this spinoff idea, because it's going to be back in time. I'm like, that's kind of stupid. Why don't they take some of these people and throw them on the old Caprica and have like a resistance series?
Leave maybe one or two characters that people can identify with, but then everyone else is new.
Yeah,
I think that will work. But if you just take like 5 or 6 people that died off or that they got rid of, whether they died or they just don't have a big part, and they put them on this new show, then people will be like, it's just rehashing the same characters.
Yeah, I can see that. But I mean,
exactly. I think, and I really love the concept of Caprica, that it's
in the past.
Back when Adama was a child, and his father building this. I think it's so brilliant.
Yeah. Maybe they could do a third spinoff, another spinoff. Why not?
I heard that there was 2 spinoffs.
Yeah, they could do one. I don't know why they can't do that on the when they had Grace and Tomo down there on the planet. They could have made that into a series in itself down there.
Sure.
So
then we've got the webisodes going as well.
Yeah. Now, when do those start? Nobody seems to know when they start, because Sci-Fi is kind of slow with updating the site. Do you know anything when it starts?
No, I haven't heard. Myself, I'm not on them. They don't involve people, as far as I know, that stayed on Galactica. And Racetrack stayed. I didn't go down to the New Caprica.
Oh, okay. Well, no. Well, your character actually found that planet, right?
Yeah.
Remember that? Your character. She started this whole trouble.
I don't do a lot on the show, but what I do is huge. They give me the hugest mission.
She found the stupid planet where they're all going to get slaughtered on.
Yeah.
But that's still pretty cool because
the Baystar. I mean, yeah, I go on the craziest missions, and I think my ranking should be much higher.
Yeah, you went to
promotion.
Yeah, you went onto the Baystar, right?
Yeah.
Because that was your first appearance on the show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. You found the Baystar. It was on, you were on the cliffhanger, and then right. And he went onto the bridge. That's where she shot Adama and everything. Mm-hmm. So that'd be pretty cool. I mean, your character has had some pivotal moments on the series so far.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
And I hope the president gets smuggled off. I found all sorts of things. And even this year, they still have me. Anytime there's a big, huge, dangerous mission, it's racetrack that goes on it.
Yeah, and they had you're the first one to accept Hilo back on the ship after he was on the planet for a while.
Yes, and this was an interesting little twist because I actually had some fans write in. There's a one woman in particular who is convinced that Hilo and Racetrack have got a little something going on, and wow. She actually wrote this really cute, sexy little scene between Hilo and Racetrack.
Mm.
And so Tomo and I both got copies, and we both read it, and we were at a party one night, and we were talking about it. And I've actually incorporated that into my character, that Racetrack is wildly in love with Hilo.
Wow.
And quite jealous of Sharon, and I use it as a lot of my backstory, what this one woman wrote about. It was really interesting. And the writers so far have not been going along with us on it.
Mm-hmm.
We did, we added in a couple of little scenes where... last season when we go to Caprica to save Anders and the resistance fighters, and Sharon comes in to the ready room, and we all find out that she's the one that's going to help us get there.
Mm-hmm.
And Hilo goes out after her after she leaves anyway, and so we added in this whole thing with Racetrack looking at us and being really jealous, and Hilo noticing, and Sharon being oblivious to the whole thing. And the director made sure that we put little extra scenes in, because I said, you know, this is my backstory, and it was from a fan, and I really think it works.
Yeah.
And, of course, the editors cut it all out. They didn't put any of it in. And I think it looks to me like there might be something going on this year with Racetrack and Hot Dog.
Oh, really?
And we're just waiting to see where it goes.
Oh, that'd be cool.
It's pretty funny. Yeah. Like, oh, Hot Dog? Right. Oh, okay.
well, then hopefully you won't have to worry about your character getting killed off, you know?
Oh, no, because it's always more dramatic when lovers die.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
I know. I'm trying not to jinx myself.
yeah, don't want to talk about too much because it might just happen, you know?
No, I know, exactly.
Yeah. Now, do you have any other projects, you gotten scripts for or...
Yeah, I just finished an episode on a new show called Saved. It's a new show starring Tom Everett Scott, and I believe my episode was on yesterday, but we don't get it in Canada. It's on TNT.
Oh, yeah. He plays a paramedic, and he's like a womanizer and stuff and all that, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he gets on in the ambulance with everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's based in Las Vegas, isn't it?
Pardon me?
Is it based in Las Vegas, that show? No?
In Vegas.
Or Reno?
I thought it was based in Seattle.
Oh, Seattle. Okay, sorry. I haven't seen it.
I could be wrong.
That's okay. Is it Saved by the Bell? No.
What?
No, there used to be an old show out here called Saved by the Bell on NBC. It was crazy with Mark Paul Gosselaar and all them people.
Yeah,
I was just kidding. It was about but that's that's kind of good. Well, it's on TNT, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, and it's right after The Closer with
Kira Sedgwick.
So, yeah. Anyway, apparently it's been getting crazy great reviews, and the premiere had the highest rating that TNT's ever had. So it's all very exciting.
Very
and
good.
And current character, so hopefully I'll be back on that one.
Oh, very cool. Anything else?
Great to work with. So, and tomorrow I'm reading for the Masters of Science Fiction tomorrow morning.
Wow, what's that? Masters of Science Fiction.
Yeah.
Wow.
They just finished doing a Masters of Horror, so they get all of the great horror movie directors together and film a bunch of different shows.
Huh.
And now it was so successful, they're doing it for science fiction.
Wow. I mean, what is it, like a what-if type of a show or what?
Yeah.
Really?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, that should be interesting.
That's exactly. I think there's 13 of them, so they could all be different, but mine is definitely a what if, and it looks really, really good.
Huh.
So I'll be going in for that tomorrow morning.
Very cool. And actually, a question from the chat now. Do you have any regrets personally or professionally? Wow.
In my whole entire life?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's a nice, easy one.
Well, last week, Katie avoided that question completely. No, no, she says she has no regrets because her mistakes makes her part of who she is today.
Oh, good answer. That's what she said. Can I steal that one?
Yeah.
No. My motto in life actually has always been that I never, ever wanted to be an old woman sitting on a rocking chair thinking, what if I would have done that?
Mm-hmm.
So my whole life is around no what ifs.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I might realize that I made the wrong decision by trying something new, but I never, ever regret trying it because at least I don't have to ever ask what if.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's like prophetic almost, you know?
So basically, I'll try anything.
Really?
Try anything.
Really? Now, I asked Katie, somebody else is asking that as well. Would you ever go on one of them, like, Celebrity Survivors or, you know, Big Brother type of shows?
I would love to do The Amazing Race.
Yeah.
I would love to do The Amazing Race.
Yeah, that'd be incredible.
I don't think they'd let me on The Amazing Race.
Hmm.
Because my life was The Amazing Race for 8 years.
Ah.
I think I might have an unfair advantage, but... My husband and I joke about it all the time. We're like, we'd have to go on and, you know, have alter egos and, like, you know, physically beat each other during the audition or something so that we'd be interesting enough to actually be chosen.
Yeah, I mean, that show's going on for years. And then they have this new one called Treasure Hunters, which is on now on NBC. They got this map, these teams, and they're going off to find this treasure. I thought, wow, that'd be kind of cool to do a celebrity version of that, get several people from different shows and, you know, off they go.
Yeah. I heard about that one, actually. That would be just as cool.
Yeah.
I love it. Solving puzzles and traveling. Come on. How much more fun could that be?
Yeah. Like they have a couple people from Battlestar. You have all these different series and, you know, a couple, you know, teams from Stargate and see who comes out on top, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure. The only problem with those things is that everyone's got, they always have to take has-beens because everyone else is working.
Oh, that's true.
I mean, when do you go out and do it? We all have to do it on our hiatus.
Yeah.
And hiatuses would all be different.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
We'll have to wait until about 10 years from now when, you know, Battlestar Galactica has been wrapped for a few years.
Yeah, well, it's like the Surreal Life. Like somebody there last week sent me a thing for the Surreal Life, wanting me to go on Surreal Life. I'm like, wait a minute, I never was. How can I be on this? Has-beens go on that show.
They wanted you to go on Surreal Life.
Somebody I know sent me an invitation. That you could send your information to the Surreal Life and see if you can be brought on. I'm like, I've done a little, you know, TV here in Vegas. I've done a little studio show with wrestling, but nothing like will qualify me for the Surreal Life. Give me a break.
What is that?
Well, that's how you bring the has-beens on.
What do you do?
And they throw them in this house.
Yeah, they got to live in this house for so many days, and they give them, like, tasks every morning
it's
or
on
every
VH1.
Other day.
Oh, no, Sean, I've seen an episode of that. Don't do that.
No, I never was. It had to be has-been to be on that show, you know.
They always try to find the most, like, mentally unstable
exactly
celebrities.
There you go.
This is what I'm saying. You have to take on a persona in the audition when you go and talk to the producers. You have to act like you're as crazy as.
Well, they probably listen to enough of these programs and know I'm a nut. Throw them on. Put me on there with Sherman Helmsley and Florence Henderson. You know.
Oh, hilarious.
Yeah, they had China on there from the WWE, and they had what's her name? Arquette. It's the brother. It's going through a sex change. What's his name? Whoever it is. It's one of the Arquettes. You know, there's David Arquette, and it's the brother who's changing to a woman, and he's on. She's on, whatever it is. It's on there, and then Florence Henderson.
Yeah, I can't remember. Was it Danny?
No, Florence Henderson's playing the counselor on the show. It's like, oh my god, I'll, I,
George,
they, And they want
George
throw
Jefferson.
Me in, and George Jefferson is on it. And
good Lord.
Yeah, and they want to throw me in the middle of all these people. Like, no. I'm not going on this stupid show.
Oh, that was a good decision. That was why. I just finished my whole What If thing, but I still think that that's the wise decision to skip that one.
Yeah. And then, what else? Sorry, I lost track of the question. I'm sorry, I've been rambling on here. And where else? Now, who have you not had scenes with on Battlestar would you like to have scenes with?
I would love to have a scene with Gaius Baltar.
Really?
Yes, I would love to work with James Callis. I love him.
Wow.
He's such an amazing actor. Amazing actor. Yeah, I would really love to work with him.
Really? That'd be good. Now, the flip side of this. Now, who have you worked with you'd like to work with more on the show?
Who would I like to work with more? I really enjoy working with Eddie.
Mm.
Obviously. He's a fantastic actor.
Mm-hmm.
Mary is amazing to work with. It's great to work with Mary and Eddie because you always learn something from them.
Mm-hmm.
They're such fantastic actors. Such an amazing process. I know that Paul Campbell was just, felt like he was always in acting class when he was working, doing scenes with Mary.
Yeah.
He learned so much from her. So I'd really love to work with the both of them.
Yeah,
I love working, I work a lot with Grace Park, mm-hmm. and I really love working with Gracie because we're old friends, and
Yeah, I'm trying to get her on the program. Got her email from somebody, so I'll have to pester her. But, she's a hard one to get a hold of. I appreciate all you guys coming on, but Grace is kind of hard to get a hold of for interviews.
It's hard to get a hold of. There, a lot of these people are really shy. I was really shocked because I went and talked to a lot of them afterwards,
mm-hmm.
Luciana and Candace McClure, and mm-hmm. they were too scared to come on the show.
I'm not that hard an interviewer, am I?
No, of course you're not.
I'm like the Larry King.
Just, they're really shy. You have to remember that actors are given words to say. We get a little sketched out sometimes when we have to, make up our own words.
That's true. Well, I mean, everybody says I'm kind of like the Larry King of podcasters. Yeah, I throw all these softball questions. usually with Kate, I ask her about her dog and everything else. And everybody's like, oh, brother, can you ask her about anything else but about her dog? It's important. Now, do you have a dog?
Yes, I do.
What's your dog's name?
It's a little embarrassing.
Uh-oh.
I have a long-haired chihuahua.
Oh.
And her name's Godiva.
Wow.
My mom bought her for me and was so excited that I got Godivas that she bought me a Godiva.
Wow. How old is she?
It's kind of embarrassing. I do realize that.
No, it's okay. How old is she?
She'll be 2 in July.
Wow, it's a puppy then. Good for you.
When we started we did our pilot 2 years ago. Because, when you're starting out on a television show and working 16-hour days, you need to have a puppy to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
So brilliant, really. Anyway.
Well, does she go with you to the set, to your trailer? Do you have a trailer?
Yeah, she does. She does, and her and Meatball are friends, and she met Katie's new puppy, and they're all pals.
Yeah, her new dog's named after her character and the, I can't remember the name of the character, but it's named after her character.
Yeah.
Now, do you each get your own trailers? That's pretty cool, huh?
Oh, yeah. We're spoiled on Battlestar. Completely spoiled.
That's
beautiful trailers. Actually, I have a funny story about Eddie's trailer.
Mm.
Because Eddie has this big, huge, incredible motorhome. Mm-hmm. And I can't even imagine how much this thing is worth. It is nicer than my home. And apparently, he lived in it, he's slept in it overnight a few times while he's shooting, and it's that nice. You would be completely comfortable. The thing's got a king-size bed in it.
Wow.
With a beautiful bedroom. It's got a glassed-in shower. It's got a washing machine. It's got a plasma screen TV, leather couches, leather recliner. The thing is mapped out.
Wow.
And whenever Bodie is in town, he stays, or whenever Bodie almost is in town shooting, being hot dog, he stays in his dad's trailer. And his dad wasn't on set that day, so he let me stay in the trailer. And we had a scene that we were working out, so we were in there rehearsing, and we were watching television, and he sat on the remote control, and all of a sudden the program started to rewind. And I said, oh, I thought this was a live show. And he goes, oh, no, it is. It's just one of those, TiVo things.
Wow.
Somehow, where you can rewind a program while it's being played. And he says, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that the TV did this. This is going to be great. Everyone's going to be so happy because the World Cup's on.
Oh.
And I thought, Well, what the hell? We're going to get the entire crew in Eddie's trailer to watch the World Cup. That's fantastic. I'm sure he'll be thrilled.
Yeah.
And I didn't say anything. I just thought it was a bit odd. The next day, the World Cup started, and sure enough, the crew and the actors, everyone's like, come on, we got to get the TV hooked up. And I thought, my God, you can't come. Give me a break. We're all going to traipse into Eddie's trailer and watch the World Cup. No. There's plasma screen TVs built into the side on the outside of Eddie's trailer. And you go and open up a little lever, and the TV pops out, and you can stand outside and watch the plasma screen TV.
I never heard of that.
I don't know how many there are, but there's one, and there's one on Mary's and one on Eddie's on the outside of the trailer. So everyone sat around and watched the World Cup.
Amazing. That's amazing.
Isn't that great?
Good for him, I guess. I mean, I like to buy that when they're done with shooting the show, huh? I could go move into that thing.
Yeah, no kidding.
Wow.
And Brody was telling me that when Eddie was on Miami Vice, his trailer was so tiny that when the kids went to go and visit him on set, they couldn't even go into his trailer. His dad would have to come out and visit with them.
Yeah. Well,
so
back then,
things changed in the last few years, hey?
Well, now
spoiled, Sean.
Yeah. Well, back then he was what, the third or fourth star. Now he's the top.
Doesn't matter. Third or fourth stars are still true. I mean, you still get amazing accommodation now. Yeah. I think it's just a sign of the time.
Yeah. Because back then, I mean, you used to hear stories. I had relatives of mine are like, oh, they had to live in these little, dumpy little things. Like you hear stories like Dallas. Larry Hagman held out and made them put up the cast in this fancy resort in Dallas because they were sick and living in these like Motel Sixes. He's like, wow, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. We actually, one of the producers in town has bought the trailers that the A-Team used to stay in.
Wow.
The entire A-Team. And they are just, they're horrible. They're absolutely awful. I worked on a movie called Thralls, a low-budget vampire movie.
Mm-hmm.
And they put us up in those things. And, oh, it was just a nightmare.
Yeah, probably filthy and old, huh?
So old and so tiny and just, they were just nasty.
Really? And then actually a question is, do you have an iPod and what's on it?
I don't have an iPod.
Wow.
I know. I just got a Mac computer and we've just taken all of our CDs and put them onto the computer and gotten rid of all of them and got rid of stereo, and everything is now set up off of our computer, and we feel very 21st century. It's very exciting for us. So now we've decided we have to do the iPod. So we've been looking at them, and we're just, I don't know, do you have one?
I have one, yes I do.
Do you have the video,
I have I have the cheap one.
Because we're thinking about the video iPod, but I want to talk, like, is it worth it? Can you actually see?
I see one, a lot of people at work have them, and then it has the screens, they're small screens like, it's like an inch by 2 inch, and it's real small.
Yeah. But is it even worth it, or is it just little ants on there?
No, you could see it. I mean, like Katie's got one with the video and stuff on there,
She just
got hers back from the repair shop, apparently. But, the music and everything on there in the videos. Battlestar puts a lot of stuff up on there. I don't know. It's like I said, if I'm going to watch something, I'm watching on TV. I'm not going to watch on some little one-inch screen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. But then on the flight back from Las Vegas, I was thinking,
you can put a lot of music.
It'd be really nice to watch that in the airport.
Yeah, or listen to music and stuff. I mean, the music quality is pretty good on those things.
Yeah. I know. It's time.
You can always also subscribe to my program. I'm the one of the top podcasters in the world
this
here.
Is true. Yes.
And potential surreal life contestant. No.
Yeah. Exactly.
Now, we're running out of time. Now, do you want to say anything to the fans before we let you go?
You know, I would really like to apologize, actually, to two fans in particular. Apparently, what happens in Vegas is supposed to stay in Vegas, I suppose, but I think that's how the ads go. But I had a few beverages, and I went out for dinner, and I don't actually recall going out for dinner. And the next day, we were looking through some photos that nobody remembers taking, save for one sober person that was in our group. And there's a picture of me with a couple, and I don't remember them meeting them. And apparently, they were Battlestar Galactica fans that we found standing in the lineup for a buffet.
Mm.
And I can only imagine what I said to these people. And so if I offended you too, if I was obnoxious, if I was offensive, I have to apologize. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we had a good time, but I can't remember.
Well, I can't imagine you saying anything bad. You seem like such a, you know, a sweet lady.
They said that I was talking about Battlestar the entire time I was standing with them, and they're like, you were telling them all the spoilers, Leah, from
wow.
I know. I'm so bad. So I'm really sorry, you guys.
Well, hopefully you said
anything.
hopefully you said your name is Grace Park when you were talking to them, huh?
Yeah, I know, exactly. And my name is Katie Satchkoff. Nice to meet you. Oh, Lord, I don't think it is.
No. You didn't say, I'm Mary McDonald. Nice to meet you. I was in Dances with Wolves.
Exactly. Oh, God.
Well, anyway.
You know, the thing is that in Vegas, you guys don't measure your drinks.
No.
You do free pouring, and we don't do that in Canada. Oh. We're very strict with the whole thing.
Oh.
And so I know exactly how much I'm capable of drinking.
Mm.
But there, you never know quite. You know,
exactly.
How much you've got.
Oh, yeah. They free pour like crazy here. They want you to blast it so you put more money in the machines.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So. And we did a couple of tequila shots, and I know that those weren't 1 ounces. Now I know that they weren't 1 ounce shots. And, yeah, it was a rough night.
The key is to eat plenty of food before you go out drinking. You know?
Well, apparently, we went straight to the buffet.
Oh, okay.
And then we went to Studio 54.
Mm.
And then after Studio 54, we went to New York. So I don't know what time it was, but it was really late. And I remember looking at the group going, my God, you guys, I'm starving. We got to go for dinner.
Hmm.
And I said, we already went for dinner, Leah. And I said, where?
Yeah.
I don't remember any of it.
Well, at least you had a good time. I mean, that's the key of Las Vegas. You know what I mean?
I know.
Yeah, so.
Anyway.
Well, Leah,
and to the rest of the fans, thanks so much for writing. I love every single letter that I get. They all mean a lot to me. And thanks for watching the show.
Well, Leah, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Good to talk to you, Sean.
We'll bring you on again in a little bit.
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
And that was Leah Cairns with our Battlestar Galactica interview. It kind of went a little long. Sorry, but it was very informative. So we thank you for being on. And next we'll have cut Sean out of the picture. Lee gets blasted with Sean. And we'll bring Koenig on to talk about the 4400. Sorry you ran a little long, but I thought it was very informative. It's very exciting to listen to her. And also, hear from the cast about with what's going on in the movies and everything. So good for her. Al Pacino. She's doing that movie 88 Minutes with him. And good things happen to everybody in the cast because they worked their hearts out in that series. And hopefully get some Emmy nominations, get some attention towards that series. Battlestar, I'm talking about, and then the cast can they can get more movie offers while still doing the series, because this is a legendary series we're talking about, and when this show's off the air, it's gonna be remembered for years as the show that recreated science fiction television. So I don't know. With that, I think we'll bring on Mr. Koenig Rules. Mr. Koenig Rules, are you there, sir?
Wow, I'm impressed.
The 4400 theme song.
Yes,
absolutely.
Wow. You didn't lose the power when you got it, did you?
No. I lost the power where I live, and I didn't get the 4400 show tape. I was so mad, too, because I put the time to thing. Oh, I'm like, oh. So,
well, you know what? You'd probably be lost if you tuned into season 3.
No, I wasn't watching Lost. It was the 4400.
No.
So sorry to run late with the interview with Leah.
No, that's okay because I was listening to her.
It was interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was. You should party with her. She won't remember what she did with you.
It'd be a non-alcoholic drink for me. A loaded drink for me is a regular Pepsi,
Are you a teetotaler or whatever they call you?
I'm a teetotaler, absolutely. So, and then Koenig is on, and rundown. Now, the 4400, now that's set. Now let me get this straight. Now it's 4,400 people that had vanished off the face of the earth, right?
Right.
And then
they were abducted,
mm-hmm.
and supposedly by aliens, but then they reappear at the beginning of the pilot episode. They come down from what appears to be a comet that's going to crash into Earth, but then it just hovers over a lake, and before you know it, the 4,400 appear. 4,400 people. that supposedly were abducted from starting from the 1940s all the way to the current time period.
Wow. And yep. now who's playing the Cylon on this show?
There are no Cylons.
Are we sure
show.
About this?
There are no. But are you a Reanimator fan at all?
Yes.
Do you know about the Reanimator?
No. Who's that?
It's a horror movie.
Oh, no. When's that coming out?
Well, it was out in 1985.
Yeah, it had that weird-looking guy. With the
guy, the guy Jeffrey Combs, who plays the Reanimator. He's a special guest star in the series.
Ooh, he's been around for a while, but he's one of those kooky characters, you know.
Wow,
right?
Very good. Now the show is in. Now, according to Internet Movie Database, it was a miniseries, and then now it's in its second season, right?
No. Oh. It's actually in its third season.
Oh,
they
Lord,
had
I'll never catch up.
A truncated first season of a pilot and. Four additional episodes, mm-hmm. and they weren't sure how successful it was going to be.
Wow.
So at the end of the first season, they let out a big, well, I guess you might call it a spoiler, that they were going to be doing in a season 5 or season 6 if it continued. They weren't sure, though. How audiences would respond, and it was one of the highest rated shows on USA. Apparently, the spoiler is that humans from the future altered these 4,400 genetically and then reinserted them into our timeline so that they would save the Earthlings in the future from doom.
Wow.
There are no aliens, but it's our future selves.
Wow. So that's interesting.
Yeah, it is. I think Battlestar has a lot to do with trying to make science fiction stories somewhat more realistic now instead of the bug-eyed creatures on alien planets. They want to go more for more realistic type of story.
Hmm.
Do you know, by the way, that it's being, at least USA is trying to nominate it for an Emmy, too, along with Monk?
Which one? The 4,400?
4,400, yeah.
Yeah, and I read somewhere where Sci-Fi is going to spend like $1 million to get Galactica nominated as well.
Yeah, so you know the rumors that after season 3 it's over with.
Yeah.
I doubt that.
Yeah.
If they've got $1 million fork down on Battlestar, geez, you know, it's going to be around for a while.
Yeah, and then actually somebody had said, I don't think they're still in the chat room, but that you know they would have wished that Sci-Fi would have taken the million and thrown it into the series itself instead of this ad campaign. I'm like, oh, well, yeah, would have been nice to see the extra money poured into Galactica itself versus an Emmy campaign. Because, you know, an Emmy campaign, I could see both sides of it. It'd be nice to see it again in Emmy, but also, wow, imagine what they could do with $1 million into the show's budget. Yeah.
I know.
That'd be kind of nice.
Wouldn't that be cool? Bring on some really major guest stars.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But
then
Patrick Stewart.
Yeah, but he could be the silent god. But like I said, I hope it doesn't turn into this like Love Boat in Space. Like I said, I'll stop watching the show if the wrestlers start showing up in these guest starring roles. You know what I mean? The ECW wrestlers start showing up on.
Didn't they have
Star Trek did
in
that.
Star Trek?
Yeah, they did that
the Next Generation?
Yeah, they did that with, what the hell's his name? Paul White. He plays the Big Show. He was on there playing some kind of a green guy. I think it was in Deep Space Nine. He was on that one, or one of the shows, or Voyager.
Yeah.
He was on something. But I'm like, I hope they don't do that with Battlestar. Send those wrestlers over to.
I hope not.
I hope Ron Moore will put his foot down, and he won't let them sully Galactica with the wrestlers, you know?
Right. But the 4,400 is a great series. The first two seasons are out on DVD. Mm-hmm. The second season is 13 episodes, mm-hmm. and this third season now is 13 episodes, too, and it's doing very well in the ratings.
Really? And Darth Marley is asking you a question. So who are the principal writers and creators of 4,400, and what did they do before? Well, Star Trek.
Eshavira, who did Deep Space Nine,
is
one of the writers of the 4,400. Ooh, Darth is trying to test me.
Yeah, and he just signed a big long-term contract with CBS, if I remember right.
Yes, yes. I'm trying to think of. He's not working on Ghost Whisperer, is he? I'm trying to think. Maybe I got that
probably
confused. But yeah, but he's involved in the 4400. Actually, they were pitching the show to a number of networks, Fox in particular, and they didn't want it. So finally, USA decided to take it. And
well, that's good.
It's got an X-Files feel to it. Uh-huh. There's two detectives that are checking out these 4400 each week, but it's got sort of like a shadow government conspiracy type of theme too.
Huh.
And it's very complex. They have about as many characters on this show as they do on Battlestar.
Now would it be how you know if I jump in and start watching now like I plan to? Will I be lost for a couple of weeks trying to figure out who's who?
I think so.
Really?
I think what you need to do is either rent or get the DVD box sets of 4400 first season and second season.
So the same thing with Battlestar. That if somebody jumps in now, they'll be kind of lost. What's going on in the series with Battlestar?
Yeah, I would say you wouldn't have been lost if you came on board the second season, because not much happened in the first, but there a lot of stuff happened in the second season, so that now by the third season it's like, who's this guy and what's going on here? So I think you'd really be lost.
Yeah, I see Darth Marley saying that Combs played numerous trick roles. He played Wayun, Brunt, and others, and
he did.
Glau played one of the 4400. Summer Glau had a part in it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then also The Rock was on the Voyager. Yes, The Rock.
The Rock.
Yes.
The Rock.
Which I read he sprained his ankle, did something to his ankle, so he's now on the shelf. He was supposed to be filming some kind of movie, but he's injured himself doing something. I don't know what. But it's like, what was it, the ankles injuries? Katie last week and now The Rock this week, huh? Maybe they live on the same hill in Beverly Hills or something. He fell down the same. It's a conspiracy to take them both out or something. So and then now they just started the season what a couple weeks ago with the 4400. Now how many episodes are in their season?
13. Right.
So now what episode are they on now? They're on the, what, the third? Third.
They're
or fourth?
On the. They're going to be going on the fourth episode this week. Tippi Hedren guest starred.
Tippi Hedren?
Yeah, remember
from
the birds?
Yeah.
Yeah, she starred in it the premiere episode, which was 2 hours.
Wow.
And she died.
Oh, well, sorry to hear that.
One of the characters decided she didn't want to come back, Lily, and so what they did is they aged her to the point where she died. She was a 4400.
Wow. And then NetRanger is asking, where is Chad Faust? And is Kyle coming back?
Kyle's MIA. That is, for those of you who don't know, that is Tom Baldwin's son. Tom Baldwin is one of the agents, and his son played a prominent role in season one and season two, but then he was charged with this is complex.
Oh.
He was charged with Jordan Collier's assassination. He actually killed him, but then Jordan Collier came back at the end of season two.
Wow.
If that makes any sense.
No, you completely lost me there.
I know. Oh, it gets worse. It gets worse.
Keep looking for the Cylon to show up.
and then they aged the baby.
Oh.
There was a baby called Isabel,
and
they aged her into a 19 or 20-year-old woman by the end of season two.
Wow. But natural or like the soap opera rapid aging disease?
Rapid aging.
Oh.
But I have heard that they are not going to do that on Battlestar Galactica with Hera.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, but then what's Hera going to be doing? Look like Damian?
Oh, yeah, because at the seasons, the child's going to grow in the hiatus. Yeah, oh, that's true.
You know what I think they're going to do? They're going to do some time forward jump.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, I think so. They're going to do a couple shot in the arms probably for fourth and fifth season.
Won't they just recast the baby as they go? I mean, you don't see the baby very often. They can just recast it, you know?
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, if it's only like about 1 year old now, I mean, by three more seasons, it'll be 4 years old.
Yeah,
so
that's
what can
true.
You do except change its diaper?
Yeah. Now, Koenig, do you have plans for next week? It's big 4th of July, so I don't know. We're going to...
Is your show on, or have you decided to go drinking?
No, I talked to the Centurion. He's going to be here, so I guess we'll forge ahead.
Okay.
I don't know what I'm going to talk about, but... Well, if you can't make it, it's mine. I know it'll be 2 hours difference in Chicago, so the fireworks should be over.
Well, it's actually 10:30, so yeah. I mean, fireworks usually are done by 10 o'clock around here, so I might give you a call up if that's okay.
Okay, sure, and then I don't know what I'm going to do the first hour. Let's see if I can scrounge
up
somebody.
What did you do tonight?
I did all news the first hour.
With wrestling?
No. Just regular news. It did all right. Hopefully, I'm just wondering what I'm going to talk about the whole second hour, though. It gives me a little question mark, but I'll come up with something.
Yeah, so. I told you about the Entertainment Weekly spoiler, didn't I?
Oh, yes.
Where they mentioned that a Cylon gets permanently killed in the first three-parter of season three.
Wonder who
a Cylon gets permanently killed. What does that mean?
Could be Leoben. Could be.
But does that mean the entire model gets wiped out? I don't think it's going to be. If the entire model gets wiped out, I don't think it's going to be Trish, Grace, or Lucy.
It'd be Leoben or Doral.
It's going to be Cavell.
Cavell,
yeah. It's going to be one of the guys, don't you think?
Yeah, I think they won't dare.
But maybe that's what they were referring to, a major cast member fighting it. Remember Ike had said that in episode three a major cast member dies? So
maybe.
What does that mean then?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I don't know. We're running out of time here, Koenig. Let you go, so we'll talk to you next week.
Yes.
Maybe we could review the Superman movie. Are you going to plan to see that?
Oh, yeah, but right. I hear that the critics aren't liking it.
Oh.
But that would be great if we could do that.
Yeah, go see it and then we can review it and I'll try and see if I can get to see it here in Vegas. So
do I get free tickets from you?
Are you kidding me? I have no connections in this town. Are you kidding me?
Jeez.
I wouldn't be sitting here if I did. Anyway, Koenig, we thank you very much.
Okay, you take care.
All right. Bye-bye. And it was Mr. Koenig Rules, and we thank everybody for being on the program. Big thank you, of course, to Leah Cairns, and thanks to Koenig Rules.
You got another minute.
I was watching the clock here. This clock here must be a minute fast. And I want to thank everybody for listening to the program, and thank you for contributing with the questions and the comments about the interview. So I thought it was an excellent interview we had with Leah. So spread the word. And I'd like to thank Mr. Consular for being the producer and Centurion in charge. And in the morning is Daily Noise, and then on Friday is Spank Wagon, followed by King Hesh. I'm Sean Amack, Sean Daly, subjecttodiscussion.com. Email subjecttodiscussion@lvrocks.com. Wish you all a good night, have a pleasant tomorrow, and a happy 4th of July.
You're doing a show next week?
Yeah, we'll do it, I guess. Yeah, you'll be here, right?
Anything special?
No. We'll play some music. I don't know. We'll sing the national anthem a few times. What do you think? All right. Good night. Have a pleasant tomorrow.